Good morning, church. Here at Living Christ, we usually pray for our pastor before he reveals the truth to you that God has shared with him throughout the week. So would you join me in praying for Pastor Jeff this morning? Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for another day in your presence. And Lord, I ask you that you would calm our minds and prepare our hearts for the truth that you're about to share with us. And Lord, we lift up your servant, Pastor Jeff. Lord, you know the truth that you have revealed to him throughout this week. May it be your words to be spoken and not his. May these be words that directly touch our hearts. And Lord, we ask you that it wouldn't stop here, but that we would carry out the truth into this world and be a light in this world, Lord God. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. We've been on a series called This is Jesus. And we've been looking at the sayings of Jesus, who he says he is about himself. There's seven statements. Seven statements in the book of John, I am statements, and we've been looking at those. And before we go any further, I think one of the things that I was reminded of this week as I was looking over this passage of Scripture is that as a minister, that's my vocation, right? So my title is pastor. I worked really hard to get a prefix to my name called Reverend. But I am a child of God, just like anyone else here sitting this morning who calls in the name of Jesus. Martin Sanders, my mentor in seminary, used to say, there are two callings upon people. One to vocational ministry, and one to minister in your vocation. And the only difference is your job. And so as I was looking over this passage of Scripture this week, I was reminded of this because we're going to see a story of Jesus' disciples who spent over 3 years with him, and on the last week of his life, they still didn't get it. So, and there are weeks, and there are days, and there are moments where after all my education, after all my time in prayer, where there's times where I feel like I still don't get it. Because I'll do and I'll say things, I'll respond certain ways, that are not the ways that Jesus asked me to respond. But the reality is my circumstance doesn't dictate my soul. Right? My situation doesn't change who I am. So our spirit and our soul and who we are in Jesus does not change before him. When you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you are declared righteous. And there's a process of figuring that out and what that means. And these guys that follow Jesus seem to struggle with it. And so we're going to look at John chapter 14 this morning. John chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible, we've provided one in front of you. It's page 1045 in that pew Bible, 1045. John chapter 14. And we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to go to verse 14. We're going to look at this section this morning. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you'd know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may be glorified, so the Son may glorify the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. I know parents that feel this way. This is not how I feel. I just know some of you feel this way. That there are times when your kids just do not listen to you. I never experienced that. Ever. Those days when you have to ask three times, and they're still standing there in front of the Xbox or the phone or whatever it is. That never happens to me, but I know it happens to you. So I just want to bring it to your, you know, attention that I understand what you experience. And by the third time, you're like, you just want to go, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Am I speaking? Are you hearing the words? And kids, I'm going to let you off the hook a little bit. There's times, right, when your parents are talking to you, and you know they're talking to you, but you just don't hear them. And you're sitting there, and all of a sudden you look up, and you realize they're speaking to you, and you go, oh, no. I just missed everything that they just said to me. Am I in trouble? Are they giving me a raise in my allowance? Darn it, why wasn't I paying attention? Or maybe your friend, right? Maybe you're having a conversation with your friend, and after 15 minutes of pouring your heart out to them, right? You look up at them, and you see in their eyes that they're not resonating with the pain that you're unleashing to them. And you're like, don't you love me? Did you hear what I just said? The pain, the turmoil, the stuff that's going on in my soul. This is Jesus. It is the last week of his life here on earth. It's the last supper. It's the last meal before he dies. He's sitting with them. And this is the trouble that Jesus is talking about in the first verse of chapter 14. In chapter 13, he says, someone, one of you, my 12 that have been with me for 3 years, is going to betray me. And then Judas gets up and leaves. And the conversation, the question is Judas going to betray him? Or, you know, he's in charge of the money, so maybe he's going to go feed the poor, or he's got to go pay a bill, or he's got to go prepare for the meal. And then Jesus says, he was leaving, and they wouldn't be able to find him. And Peter, as Peter always is, Lord, I will, wherever you go, Lord, I will find you. I will be there. And Jesus says to him, listen, Peter, I love you. But tonight, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Even you, Peter, you're going to deny me. This is the trouble and the turmoil that Jesus saw on his disciples as he's having this conversation in chapter 14 with them. He sees it on their face, and he sees that the words that he's saying is somewhat causing turmoil, but he can tell by the conversation that progresses that it's not registering fully what he is saying to them. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Listen, don't be upset. The place that I'm going is going to cause me heartache and pain. In 24 hours, he's going to be hanging on a cross, bearing the weight of the entire world on his shoulders. You don't want to go where I am going, disciples. You don't want to experience what I'm about to experience. You don't want to be flogged and whipped 39 times. You don't want to experience that. You don't want to experience the weight of fallen man on your shoulders. The entire weight, past, present, and future weight of sin of separation from God upon my shoulders. You don't want to experience that. I got to do this one on my own. You've followed me to this point, but trust me, you don't want to go where I'm going. After that, I'm going to prepare a place for you. There is good news in all of this. For a little while, it's going to hurt for me. For eternity, you will be blessed. Why would I lie to you? I've been with you for 3 years. Why would I say something to you that is not truth? You've experienced the miraculous in all different kinds of ways. Listen, now is not the time to fear, because I've got this. I'll be back and I'll get you. You know the way. You know the way that I'm going. I've been talking about it for a while. Jesus says three things to answer their trouble. Three things about himself in the next couple verses, about himself that is going to help them for their entire lives. This I am statement that Jesus makes kind of wraps up everything that he's been saying to them over the last 3 years. It's a strong statement. He said a couple of these things before. We've talked about them. He's recapping to them the truth of the I am statement that he represents. And so this is, as he goes into this next section in verses 5 to 7, we have this conversation that begins to take place. And I believe in this conversation, in this first section, in verse 6, he lays out a plan for them that happens in the discussion for the next few verses. Thomas, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And that way is the road, the traveled path, the journey. We don't know the journey. We don't know the road at which you're going. And Jesus says, the declarative statement, I am the way. I'm the way. I am the road to the future that you desire. I'm getting excited because I know the end of the story, and it's really cool. Jesus said, I've made the way through. His death and resurrection makes the way through. The restoration of all humanity rests on Jesus' shoulders. Through him, we have access to the Father now, and we have access to the Father later in heaven. I said this last week, it's not just for later, and it's not just for now. It's a both and. Your life can be changed today, not just after you die. But maybe this morning, you're distracted, you're discouraged, maybe you feel lost. How many of you have ever been lost before? All right, a couple of you. It was kind of rhetorical, but it's all right. We can participate this morning. It's all good. I don't know how many times I've been lost, so I am the anti-man when it comes to being lost. Like, if I can't find it on the GPS, I will go and ask somebody. I'll ask them. I don't care. I don't care if it's right in front of me. Hey, do you know where the soda is? Sir, do you see all this? I don't care because I hate that feeling of being lost. Several years ago, I was working with students in Pennsylvania, and one of our students went on a hiking trip with his father in the woods. And they had hiked a number of times on this mountain. There was a waterfall, and it was gorgeous, and it was a lot of work, but they went hiking. And it was getting later in the day, and the son said, hey, listen, I just want to take a couple pictures. I'll meet you back at the entrance. They had hiked this trail a number of times, so this is not a big deal. So the father walks out, and the son stays and takes a couple pictures. But as he's walking, he realizes that he no longer sees the path in front of him. And he starts to get concerned and worried. And next thing he knows, there is nothing of an semblance of a path in front of him at all. And he is completely lost. So much so that a search party is called for him. He doesn't show up for 2 hours. His dad is getting really concerned. He knows the way. Something must have happened to my son. I'm going to send people to find him. So the search ensues. And the son is in the woods and he can't find his way and he's getting frustrated. And he finally, at one point, he just sits down and he gives up. And he sits down next to a creek. And the noise is getting louder and louder and louder in his mind before he can not focus on anything else but the creek. And he finally stands up and he yells at the creek, "Shut up! Just shut up!" He's so upset at the noise of the creek. "I just need to get out of here. Just be quiet, would you?" And then this little thought pops up into his head from Cub Scouts like 10 years earlier. "Hey, if you ever get lost in the woods, find water. Water almost always will lead you out." So some of you are nodding. You've been lost in the woods before. So he follows the creek down, and sure enough, the creek leads to an access road, and there's a guy walking with a flashlight. "Hey, are you so-and-so?" "Yes, I am." Sometimes in life, it's like we're lost in the woods. And we're just in desperate need of somebody to find us. And oftentimes, we're screaming at the very person who can help us out. And that's Jesus. "But God, you did this. But God, you did that. But God, you don't understand." And all the time, it's this quiet churning of the water saying, "I've got you. I want to lead you out." And Jesus is saying to his disciples, "I know it feels like trouble now. I know it feels like trouble now. But trust me, I got you. I'm going to lead you out." So my first thought this morning in regards to this is, where have you been drifting in life or feel lost and need direction? Maybe this is you this morning. And as soon as I said that, there's something that just popped in your head. And, whoa, yeah, I'm feeling lost in regards to this. It feels like God doesn't care about this. I need this one. I need Jesus to be real and this one. Hold on to that for a moment as we progress through the text. The second thing that Jesus says about himself is that he is the truth. Philip goes on to say, "Jesus, okay, so just show us the Father, then that will be enough. Just, I know you've done X, Y, and Z, but just like open up the heavens, let us see the throne room of God. Just show us the Father, and then we're good. We're good. Then we'll believe. Then we'll all, everything that you've taught us for the last 3 years will make sense in our brains, Jesus." And Jesus says to him, "Philip, don't you know me? I said this a couple chapters earlier. I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. When you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Me and him are one. What you're looking for is me. Don't you believe? Anyone who has seen the Father, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. But my authority doesn't just come from myself and what you see. My authority comes from him. So if you don't believe my words, believe the evidence that I've given you. Believe the evidence. Right, let's backtrack water into wine. Walking on water. Taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and presto, 5,000 plus people are fed. People whose legs do not work now are working. People who are blind, who have been blind their entire lives. Cataracts gone. They can see the trees. Not only that, but Lazarus was dead for 4 days. We haven't made sure he was good and dead, just for you. Good and dead, nice and ripe. And then I rose him from the grave so that you would not just believe my words, you would believe what God had done in and through me. I am the truth. You've been looking for truth your entire lives, disciples. It's standing right in front of you. When I was in college, one of my roommates was struggling with doubts, right? We're at a Christian school. We were at Nyack College, which is a Christian school, You have to take 15 credits of Bible. And we talked about Jesus a lot. We went to chapel at that point 5 days a week. Some of you who go there now, you've been let off. Right? We went 5 days because we were good Christians. I'm playing. And my roommate, we were having these real honest conversations. Do you know the ones that real people have? I don't know if I believe this. Like, I'm here, my parents are spending a ton of money to send me here, but I'm not sure I believe this. And he was getting ready to go tell others about Jesus, and he's doubting, he's struggling. That's what happens to real people, right? Happens to pastors, right? We struggle with these someday. When things don't necessarily go right, there's a struggle. And circumstance dictate how you feel in your soul, not in reality, but in reality. I said, Jeff, I'm just struggling with this. I'm struggling. And right before he left, I went to him and I said, the Lord told me to pray for you. And I prayed for protection, that Jesus would protect him. Well, oftentimes in life, right, we can pray for protection and protection doesn't happen. And we go, what the heck? Don't you hear me? And I prayed for protection. And he almost cut me off and said, that's not what I need. I need to stop doubting. I need to stop doubting. But I prayed protection. Lord Jesus, protect him. And he left. And when he came home, a couple hours later, he came running and he grabbed me. He's like, Jeff, you'll never believe what happened. I'm like, you're right. You almost knocked my head off my shoulders. He said, we were on our way home and we're in the van. We're coming down the hill and we slid on some black ice. And the van rammed into a huge boulder and smashed the whole front end of the van. And I was sitting in the front seat, and this was the old van. I don't think you have these anymore at the college. You know where the engine block comes right in the middle, right? And you're sitting there in between the engine block. And he was sitting in the front seat, and somehow his chair turned all the way around, and he was facing the people behind him. And somehow his legs that were on the ground made it in between the engine block and the chair, which is physically impossible. I don't know. You try to move that, it ain't happening. You have to take the chair, lift it out, and turn it around, right? No. Somehow, sitting in the chair, he whipped all the way around, and absolutely nothing happened to his legs. He had a little mark across his neck from the seatbelt. And the person driving hit their nose on the steering wheel and barely, just barely broke it. And nothing else happened to anybody else in the van. Not a thing. When they towed the van to the shop, the van asked the police how many people died. It looked that bad. How many people died? And the police said, you're not going to believe this. Nobody. Nobody died. Well, there must have been broken bones. No broken bones. Like one guy bumped his nose, barely broke it. No broken bones. Well, what about the guy in the front seat? That chair's turned all the way around. He must have done something to his legs. Nothing. No broken bones. And he grabbed me and he's shaking my hand. And he goes, Jeff, I believe. I don't doubt anymore. See him all the time. We're Facebook friends and he lives, not near me anymore. And every time I see him, I think of that story. And he works for Youth for Christ and tells people about Jesus every single day of his life. Amen. Works with inner city kids that don't have moms and dads. And they get to experience the Father through him. Amen. Maybe you're sitting here this morning where you have been seeking or are unclear and you just need assurance. Now, I'm not going to pray that you get into an accident on the way home. I'm not going to do that. But sitting here this morning, there's a tiny bit of doubt, or maybe a ginormous bit of doubt sitting on your soul. Let's just be honest with one another this morning, with the fact that, you know what? I'm just a human, and sometimes I doubt. The words that Jesus said, the actions that he did. Sometimes I just doubt. It's okay. Let's just be honest with that this morning. We have prayer time later. Just bring that to our prayer people. And Jesus has one more statement that he makes about himself, and that is that he is life. He is the way, he is the truth, and he's life. Whoever believes will do the works that I've done, and they'll do even greater things than these. What? Even greater things than raise people from the dead? I will do whatever you ask so that my Father gets glorified. Anything you ask so that God gets glorified. So this is truth. You may ask for anything in my name, in the name of Jesus. So generally, things like, Jesus, I want a Ferrari in your name. He may do that. God bless you. I don't really fit in those vehicles, so. But he's not a genie in this regard, right? He's not the, you know, just rub your Bible and bang, I get the job I want. Everything goes great in my life. That's not what he's talking about here. Those miracles were for a purpose, right? When he opened the eyes of the blind man, the disciples asked, who sinned? This man or his father? And Jesus says, neither, but you will know that I am who I say I am. So the miraculous happens in regards to Jesus and nobody else, right? If I stood up here and prayed over somebody and they're healed, it has absolutely nothing to do with Jeff, right? Nothing to do with Jeff, except for that I have a relationship with Jesus. That's it. And so when he says, you can ask anything in my name and I'll give it to you, he is talking to the heart of the matter, which is your life. And we get to see this every single week here at Living Christ Church in our healing prayer ministry. Because there are blocks and barriers that get in the way of life to the full. Can we agree on this? There's things that happen in our lives, past, present, and will happen, that are going to cause blocks in our relationship with God, life to the full. And when you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. Why? Because he desires that you have freedom. He desires you to be free. I was in a prayer session with the team this week, and I said to Donna afterwards, man, if I could, I would ask the people when they walk in their broken state, can I take your picture? And they'd probably want to punch me in the face. Don't you understand what's going on in my soul? But I want to do it because the picture at the end, when somebody gets freed, when the block is removed, that incident that happened when they were little that nobody likes to talk about, and we ask Jesus to enter into the picture and tell them that they love them, and they hear for the first time in their lives the voice of God saying, I love you, you are my child, I've got this, and the chains that fall off, and the smile that lights up their face because that block is gone. That is a mountain that was moved. That is the greatest meal that your soul can ever have. That is the light of your eyes turning on for the first time. That is when the shackles around your feet because of this incident are ripped off and you can walk again. So when you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. What he really cares about is your life. Not the magic stuff, your life. And so when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he means it. I am the road to the place that you are looking for. The lies and all the junk of life that comes at you, I move that all away and I'm truth. And your life that seems chaotic and troublesome, it won't all get better, but it will make sense in me. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want to carry this for you. And he's sitting with his disciples, knowing what's coming tomorrow, and he doesn't anyway. If I can't get behind a God like that, man. So maybe you're sitting here this morning where you're not experiencing life to the fullest. There is a block, or there is a barrier, or there's just something in your life that is causing some turmoil, some struggle. Jesus is saying, bring it to me. Let's talk about this. Because I want to give you life to the full. It's not going to be all bells and whistles. It's not magically rainbows in front of you all the time. But I've got your life in my hands, and I'll carry you through this if you'll let me. Let me carry you. Let's walk this together. You are not alone. I'm with you. And then he wraps it up. As Len told us a couple weeks ago, the only way to the Father is through me. You can look for other ways. This is a very dogmatic statement that Jesus makes. You can look at all the rest of the religions. They will bring you nowhere. Except make you do what you think you need to do in order to get to God. Yeah. And the difference is that everything that needed to be done was done in and through Jesus. Story over. That's why Jesus can say, I am the only way. Don't take my word for it. Look it all up yourself. Christianity, a life with Christ, is the only religion in the entire world that says, you can't do this on your own, let me do this for you. Every other belief system on planet Earth says, do better, try harder, and then maybe. Christianity, Jesus is the only one that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. The only way to the Father is through me. You can try on your own, but it's going to be painful and rocky and worse than you can possibly imagine, and in the end, you won't get what you're looking for. I am standing here right in front of you. Take what I'm offering. Because what we're really all looking for in the midst of our soul is just an ounce of freedom. And Jesus wants to give it to you. He wants to give it to you. So let me recap. Three things that I believe that he's saying about himself here and that maybe be tugging at your soul. Where have you been drifting in life or feel lost in the direction? Jesus is saying, let me help you on this one. Where have you been seeking or are unclear and need assurance? Jesus is saying, let me help you with this one. Where have you been not been experiencing life to its fullest? Jesus is saying, let me help you. Let me help you. I'm going to pray, then we're going to take communion. Then we're going to sing, and prayer people will be up here for you. If you need help with one of these three, come and see our prayer people. Talk to me at the door. But let me pray for you first. Lord Jesus, you are God and I am not. My words are just words, but your life is real. And so right now, in the midst of whatever trouble, turmoil, circumstance that life has brought to these people in front of me, I ask right now that you would speak your truth into them. When there seems to be no way, that you would speak your truth into them. Not the words of Jeff Salveson, but the words of the Spirit. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.